Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so thankful to be here with you today. And if you're watching online, we're so thankful you can be joining us that way too. I'm thankful that we can be snuggled up here nice and warm, even though it's freezing outside. I was talking to my parents who are up in Minnesota. I was talking to them yesterday, and they have it even colder than we do, if you can fathom that. So I'm glad, or at least it's not that bad. Well, I'm so thankful that I get to be here with you this morning. My name is Ben Girth, and my family and I are your missionaries with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And I'm so excited to be a part of this sermon series on prayer. I have really appreciated the other sermons in this series on prayer. Have you been blessed by them? Have you been encouraged and challenged in this area of prayer? If you have, I just want to encourage you, tell the pastors that. The pastors need to hear how God is using his word to produce real life change in his people. So just send them a little note or a phone call or a text or something. Just let them know how God is working in your heart or in your family or whatever it's been. I know that would be really encouraging to the pastors to hear that. Well, my topic for today is prayer in the spiritual battle. Prayer in the spiritual battle. So you may have already opened your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, but if you haven't gotten there yet, go ahead and find Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be spending some time today. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and pray again. Father, we come to you this morning as your people, some of us very weary, some of us very weak, some of us struggling. But we all come wanting to be transformed to become more like Jesus. We want to love Jesus more deeply and follow him more closely. So I pray now that you would take your word and change us. Bring conviction of sin where that's necessary. Bring comfort to those that are hurting. Bring strength to those that feel weak, so that we can all stand firm in this battle, these struggles that we face. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you just heard that passage read from Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10 there. And you can clearly hear that we as Christians are in an epic battle, right? I mean, we're in an epic battle of cosmic proportions against a supernatural enemy. It's a spiritual battle. And thankfully, God has given us spiritual weapons to fight the spiritual battle. One of the most important weapons we have is prayer. The main idea for this morning is this. Prayer keeps us focused on Jesus and dependent on God for power and victory in the spiritual battle. I'll say it again for you. Prayer keeps us focused on Jesus and dependent on God for power and victory in the spiritual battle. Now, before we jump in and start talking about prayer, it's crucially important that we talk about this idea of the spiritual battle. Because some of you might kind of know what I'm talking about when I say that. Some of you might have no idea what I'm talking about. When we say spiritual battle, we're talking about the battle that's going on in the invisible spirit realm. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle for our hearts and minds and souls. It's a battle that determines where we spend eternity. So the stakes are high. The battle is real, and the enemy is very real. So let's maybe talk there a little bit. Let's talk about our enemy. Well, listen to a few scripture passages here just to think about who our enemy is. I don't have them on the screen. You can just listen. There's 1 Peter 5:8, for example. 1 Peter 5:8. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to, what? Devour. That's our enemy. That's our enemy, the devil. Scripture also refers to him as Satan, the accuser, the slanderer, the dragon, the evil one, the tempter. That's our enemy. And he's not alone. He has an entire army of demons on his side, just like in our passage here, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's talking about the fallen angels, the demons who are on Satan's side. So we're at war against Satan and his demons. Not only that, We've also got sin waging war against us. Genesis 4:7, sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. That was Genesis 4:7. So sin is our enemy. And not only sin itself, but also our sinful nature. Our sinful flesh is at war with us. 1 Peter 2:11, I urge you to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. And not only that, I know this list is long, but just one more. Not only that, but even our own desires are trying to sabotage us. James 1:14-15, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So are you starting to get the picture here that we are at war? We are under attack from Satan, his demons, sin, our sinful natures, and our own desires. Well, okay, so that's the enemy. That's who the enemy is. Well, now, what is the enemy's mission? Or what is the enemy's objective, you could say? Well, I found just a few here. There's probably more. Here's the enemy's mission. He wants to take us captive to do his will. He wants to make us shipwreck our faith in Jesus. He wants to make us wander away from our faith in Jesus. And ultimately, he just wants to destroy our faith in Jesus. That's his objective. That's his aim. Well, then, what are the enemy's weapons? What are the enemy's weapons? Well, first of all, he has temptation to sin. Temptation to sin. Think about Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4. Satan comes along and he tempts Jesus to sin. He tries to entice or persuade Jesus to disobey and sin. That's one of Satan's favorite weapons, is temptation to sin. But he's also got trials and persecution. He's also got trials and persecution. Think about Job. Remember Job? Satan attacked Job with the loss of all his wealth, the death of his children, painful sores all over his body. But we know what was actually going on there was a spiritual attack designed to destroy his faith, right? So the enemy uses trials and persecution. The enemy also uses lies. Lies, right? John 8:44, Jesus said, the devil does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is a liar, and that's one of his most powerful weapons because it's so sneaky and cunning and deceptive. It's a powerful weapon. So the enemy is very real. His mission is our destruction, and his arsenal is dangerous. That's why the Bible tells us to fight. The Bible says, wage the good warfare. Fight the good fight. Resist the devil. Do not give the devil a foothold. Stand firm in the battle. That's what we mean when we say spiritual battle. All of us as Christians are under attack. We are at war. And God has graciously given us spiritual weapons to fight the spiritual battle. And like I said, one of the most powerful weapons is prayer. Prayer keeps us focused on Jesus and dependent on God for power and victory in the spiritual battle. This passage here in Ephesians 6 tells us how to use prayer in the spiritual battle. So let's read through it again, and I want you to listen carefully for where prayer shows up here. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This is such a beautiful passage, isn't it? I love this passage. God has given us all these great pieces of spiritual armor to use as we fight the spiritual battle. Truth and righteousness and the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the word of God. And then in verse 18, he mentions prayer. You see it there in verse 18? Praying. Praying. This is a participle, and it modifies some other verb in the context. It shows the means by which we accomplish some other action in the context. Well, the most immediate context would be verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation, praying. So prayer would be the means by which we put on the helmet of salvation. Prayer would be the means by which we wield the sword of the Spirit. But you could also go back to verse 14. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore praying. So then prayer would be the means by which we stand firm in the battle. So that would be the nearest contexts here. But I think based on the context of this whole passage, I think conceptually we could think of it even as verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, praying. So prayer would be the means by which we put on God's armor. Or even verse 10. Be strong in the Lord, praying. Prayer is the means by which we are empowered with the strength of Jesus. This is so cool, isn't it? So prayer is the foundational framework for this entire passage. Prayer is like the divine nuclear reactor that empowers and activates all the individual pieces of armor. Prayer is the God-given means by which we fight the spiritual battle. So let's take a closer look at how we can use prayer to fight the spiritual battle. Number one, pray that we would fight in Jesus' power, not our own. Number one, pray that we would fight in Jesus' power, not our own. Look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Paul uses three different Greek words for power here. I like how other versions say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The only way we can fight this spiritual battle is in Jesus' power, not our own. And just think for a minute. Just think for a minute about Jesus' power. Think about a couple glorious passages of scripture here about Jesus' power. Mark 1:27. This is right after Jesus cast a demon out of a man. They were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. That's power, right? That's power. Or how about Colossians 2:15? Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them on the cross. That's power, right? That's power. Or how about 1 John 3:8? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's power. Hebrews 2:14, Jesus himself likewise partook of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. That's power. Say it with me, Ventura, that's power. Or one more, Ephesians 1, 20 and 21, God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. That's power. Jesus is superior, supreme, and sovereign over Satan and his demons. When Jesus died and rose again, he disarmed. Think about that. He disarmed Satan and his demons. And someday, when Jesus comes back, he will ultimately and completely destroy all the spiritual forces of darkness. Listen to this vision from Revelation 19. Just get this vision as a picture in your mind. Ready? Listen to this. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse. I don't know about you, but if we're picking sides, I want to be on Jesus' side. If we're picking teams, I want to be on Jesus' team. If we're going into battle, if we're going into war, I want to fight in Jesus' power, not my own, because he is the one who will ultimately be victorious over all the spiritual forces of evil. And prayer keeps us focused on Jesus and his victory. Prayer reminds us that we can't fight the battle in our own strength, but in Jesus, the victorious one, we have strength to fight the battle. So pray that we would fight in Jesus' power, not our own. Number two, pray for God's help to put on the armor. Pray for God's help to put on the armor. Let's look at it starting in verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So when we're under attack, when we're facing a trial or a temptation, we need to pray for God's help to put on the armor. Now, let's be very clear about something. God has already given us all the armor. When we first repented of our sins and trusted Jesus for salvation, God gave us all this armor. But now through prayer, we fasten it on and get ready for battle. Now through prayer, this armor goes weapons hot as we engage the enemy in battle. So here's what it could look like. Here's an example for you of using prayer, or praying for God's help to put on his armor. So when you're under attack, you're facing a spiritual attack, we could pray, God, please help me to hold fast to your truth, the belt of truth. Give me the wisdom to recognize lies and give me the courage to believe the truth. Or, help me to remember that I have been declared righteous in Jesus. Give me the strength to choose the path of righteousness and obedience, even when it's hard, breastplate of righteousness. Or, thank you that Jesus is my peace. Let the peace of Christ guard my heart and mind from fear and anxiety in this situation, in this battle. And then we just work our way through the whole armor of God passage, praying the armor of God, asking for God's help, acknowledging our own weakness, acknowledging our dependence on God, and through prayer, asking for God's help to put on his armor. Number three, pray for the strength to stand firm. Number three, pray for the strength to stand firm. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So when we're under attack, when we're facing a spiritual attack of trials or temptations or lies or persecution or whatever, we need to pray for the strength to stand firm. But what does that look like? What does that mean to stand firm? Well, standing firm means we don't give in to the temptation. Instead, we actually expose the works of darkness. Standing firm means we refuse to continue in unrepentant sin. Instead, we confess it, we repent of it, we bear fruits worthy of repentance. Standing firm means we don't crumble under trials and walk away from Jesus. Rather, we hold fast our confession and we draw near to the throne of grace. Standing firm means when we suffer persecution, we don't abandon the faith. Rather, in faith, we get ready to make a defense to anyone who asks us to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Standing firm means we're not surprised that the world hates us. Rather, we pray for those who persecute us. That's what it means to stand firm in the battle. Pray for strength to stand firm. Number four, pray at all times with vigilance. Number four, pray at all times with vigilance. Look at verse 18 there. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. I want to share a personal testimony with you. When we were in Tanzania, we prayed a lot. We felt the desperate urgency for prayer every day because we felt the attacks of the evil one every day. We faced trials and loss and sickness and darkness and demonic oppression. We felt like we were under attack, so we prayed. We prayed at all times. We prayed with vigilance. But then we came back here to America. And honestly, I got lazy in this area of prayer. I didn't feel the urgency for prayer because I didn't feel the heat of the battle. And that's exactly what the enemy wants us to think. He doesn't want us to be praying desperately and urgently at all times with vigilance. He wants us to be lazy. He doesn't want us to realize that we are constantly under attack. I wonder if some of you need to hear that this morning. I wonder if some of you need to be awakened to that truth this morning, that we are constantly under attack. I mean, maybe you're not facing direct demonic oppression. Maybe it's something more hidden. Maybe your flesh is enticing you toward pride or anger or lust or greed. Maybe you're not facing some life-threatening sickness. Maybe it's something more sneaky. Maybe you're believing lies about your money or your body or your possessions or your spouse or your job. Satan has lots of different weapons, and they all have one purpose, to pull us away from Jesus. We are at war all the time, so we need to be praying all the time with vigilance. Do you remember when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his crucifixion? Matthew 26, 41, Jesus told his disciples, "Watch, watch, and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak." We need to be watchful and awake and alert and vigilant in our prayers. We need to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray at all times with vigilance. Number five, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Again, it's right there in verse 18. It says, pray in the Spirit. This is kind of a tricky one, and unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion about this one. Well, what? That's weird. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, I think the best way to understand this is to look at these passages of Scripture. It gives us a helpful understanding. Think about Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Ephesians 6:17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If we look at all of those passages, praying in the Spirit means we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our prayers, to direct our prayers. It means we pray Spirit-led prayers. And how does the Holy Spirit lead us? Through the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit inspired, right? So we should have our minds so saturated with Scripture that when we pray Scripture. When our minds are filled with Spirit-inspired scripture, we will pray Spirit-led prayers. Praying in the Spirit means we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our prayers according to the Word of God. If our thoughts are in sync with God's thoughts in Scripture, then the Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us about when we should pray, or for whom we should pray, or how we should pray. Maybe how we should pray while we're in the midst of a spiritual attack. How do we pray about this? We might not even know how to pray. How should we pray? Pray in the Spirit, being led by the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's praying in the Spirit. Number 6, pray with all prayer and supplication. Number 6, pray with all prayer and supplication. Again, it's right there in verse 18. Pastor Timothy talked about this a few weeks ago, about all the different types of prayer available to us. We can and should utilize all those different types of prayer. There's prayers of confession, there's prayers of lament, prayers of adoration, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of intercession. Sometimes we pour out our hearts to God and just vent all the pain and fear and worry and cast our cares on Him. Other times we ask questions out of confusion and distress. Other times we just worship Him in awe and wonder. So if you're under attack, if you're facing a serious trial or temptation, just pray. God doesn't require some formula or some fancy words. Just pray. And Ventura, listen. Your Heavenly Father loves to hear you pray. Your Heavenly Father loves to hear you pray. So just pray. Sometimes we might pray a really long prayer because there's so much that we want to talk to our Heavenly Father about. And other times the battle might be so intense, all we can pray is one word, help! Just pray. Pray with all prayer and supplication. When you're under attack, just pray. And then number 7, pray for each other. Number 7, pray for each other. Look at what it says there at the end of 18. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. For all the saints. Do you realize, Ventura, do you realize that you're not the only one under spiritual attack right now? You're not the only one going through the fire right now. Think about 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. We already looked at verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Here's the very next verse. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. All Christians are under attack in some form or another. Every follower of Jesus is being attacked by lies, temptations, trials, or persecution. So we should be praying for each other. Just like 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Man, that's pretty intense. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. So Paul was enduring some intense spiritual attack here, and he asked for prayer. Prayer binds us together as the body of Christ. When we see a brother or a sister struggling in a spiritual battle, we need to come alongside them and pray with them and pray for them. I love the picture of the ancient Roman soldiers and how they would lock their shields together. You know that picture? They would lock their shields together to form an impenetrable barrier. I feel like that's what we're doing when we pray for each other. We're coming alongside and we're saying, I'm here for you. I'm here with you. I've got your back. We're in this battle together. Just like in Romans 15:30, Romans 15:30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. The word strive together means to fight alongside someone, to enter into the battle together and help your fellow soldier hold the line. Ventura, here's the point. When we face spiritual attacks, trials, and temptations in the spiritual battle, we're not supposed to face them alone. God has given us the magnificent gift of prayer to bring us together, to knit our hearts together in love so that we can fight the spiritual battle together. So let's pray for each other. That's how we can use prayer to fight the spiritual battle. I want to close with three beautiful examples of prayer, three real life examples in Scripture of people who used prayer to fight the spiritual battle. So turn over to Acts chapter 4, the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. The context is that Peter and John had been arrested. They'd been thrown into prison because they were preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. The Jewish religious leaders, they threatened them, and they told them not to preach about Jesus anymore. All right, so that's where we pick it up. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Check this out. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue, what? To continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. What? And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That is just mind-blowing. I mean, just think about it. The Church of Jesus Christ is like 3 days old at this point, and they're already facing persecution. They're already facing spiritual attack. And how did they respond? They prayed. They prayed. And look how they prayed. They focused on Jesus and on God's power through Jesus. They incorporated Scripture into their prayer. They prayed for strength to stand firm. They utilized different types of prayer. They prayed with and for each other. This is so cool. They knew they were under attack, so they prayed. Well, let's look at another one. What about 2 Corinthians chapter 12? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians 12, 7. This is the Apostle Paul here. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am what, church? Strong. But seriously? Seriously? I mean, I can't imagine what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Out of all the trials that this guy suffered, The one that he refers to as a messenger of Satan to torment me is this one? I can't imagine what it is. Something painful and grievous and overwhelming. And how does Paul respond to that trial? He prays. He prays. He pleaded with the Lord. Now, sadly, we don't know the words. We don't know the exact words of what he prayed. But in context here, we can see that he focused on Jesus' power, not his own. He prayed for strength to stand firm in the battle, and he prayed with vigilance. Let's do one more. How about Matthew 26? Matthew 26. We have to end with Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Our Lord and Savior Jesus suffered intense, satanic, spiritual attack. And how did Jesus respond? He prayed. He prayed. Through prayer, he found strength to fight the battle. Through prayer, he stood firm against temptation, and he found courage to obey. So Ventura, listen. When you're facing this spiritual attack, you're not alone. You are not alone. Jesus is with you, and Jesus understands. Jesus was attacked by the full force of the powers of hell. And through prayer, he stood firm. Through prayer, he was victorious. So look to Jesus. When you're facing a trial or temptation or persecution or lies and you're under spiritual attack, look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Run to Jesus. And think about this. By faith, Jesus dwells in us, and we dwell in Jesus. So if Jesus is victorious over the spiritual forces of darkness, we also are victorious. Prayer is the means by which we claim that victory and stand firm in the battle. Prayer keeps us focused on Jesus and dependent on God for power and victory in the spiritual battle. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you have given us everything that we need to fight this battle. Thank you that Jesus is victorious because we feel so weak. Thank you that you've given us prayer as a means to put on this armor and stand firm and fight this spiritual battle. I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who is not a believer in Jesus, oh God, I pray that you would open blind eyes by your Holy Spirit and you would give the gift of faith so that people would see Jesus and believe in Jesus and repent of their sins. God, I pray that you would give new life this morning. And then for those of us who are battling this spiritual battle every day, I pray maybe for those that need to be awakened, to be aware that they are in a spiritual battle and they need to be vigilant in prayer. And then, God, I pray for others who might feel so weary in the battle. They just feel so overwhelmed. They are on the brink of despair and hopelessness. Oh God, I pray that you would fill them with hope. I pray that you would remind them that Jesus has already won the battle, and they, in the power of Jesus, just need to stand firm with your armor, with your power, by your Spirit. Oh, fill them with hope today. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
From 2 Peter 1, 2 through 3, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Because it has been. It has been multiplied and multiplied, and blessings have been poured out upon you. In the knowledge of God, of Jesus, our Lord, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. May the Lord richly bless each and one of you this week. Go in the peace of God. You are dismissed.